I fast. I touched on this just a moment last week. We first abstain from food for spiritual reasons. It really is for spiritual purposes. When you fast, it is good to do a lot of different things, and I've heard wonderful ideas what people are doing, because anything that we spend most time with, if it's our telephone, then we need to dial it down. We really do. It'd be good for us to dial it down. You know what? Unless it's an emergency, we all understand we're all fasting. It may take us just a little bit longer to get back to you. But, you know, you can get in prayer and take that phone with you, and it'll go off, and next thing you know, you're looking at that phone. Let's do some things that are different. It's good for us to put down our computer, our video games, our surfing the net, less TV, less playing games on your iPad before you go to sleep, less listening to this and listening to that, watching TV, a lot of things that we do. It's only 21 days. It's only 21 days. Can we try it and see what God does? Can we do it with a right heart and see what God does? Can we do it with a humble heart and see what God does? Because right now, some are in a pickle. Some of you, you don't know what to do because it's so bad and the enemy has come so hard. You don't know how to save yourself, but he does. And he will make a way when there is no way. But technically, all these things are not fasting, but they are laying aside something while you are fasting. Fasting is doing without food. That's why we all hate it so much for a period of time. We don't fast to get merits with God or to get rid of our sin. It's not going to happen. There's only one way to get forgiveness and get merit with God, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. So we're not going for salvation unless it's to get your mind renewed, and that's a big one for us. However, fasting, what it will do, it will bring to surface in our mind. You'll begin to think, I probably shouldn't have done that. But it'll bring to surface any area of compromise in our life. We don't even know sometimes our own, we don't know, do we? Somebody might say, why are you so proud? Well, I'm not proud. But what if I am? What if I have a spirit of pride that is operating in me? What if there's something that God wants to set me free so that I can be what he wants me to be in this next year? Because there's a nation that needs us badly. There's a generation, they really do need us. However, I believe that he will make us aware of our sin so that we can repent of it. He's not making us aware to put us down. And if somebody puts you down because they think they're more righteous than you, then they need to get rid of the righteous spirit, because that is also unallowed. Fasting is not a Christian diet. That's why we straightened Pastor out a while ago. We just want to make sure that he knew this is a fast. Got it. We don't fast just to lose weight, even though almost everyone will. Nick Radford, every time we have a fast, that guy, he loses a lot. And he just does. I can always tell when Nick fast. And there's a lot of people that fast and lose a lot of weight, but that's just a side product. That's not what we're going for. Unless we put prayer into our fasting, we're only starving ourselves. When you fast, it's for us to be focused on prayer and on the Word of God and what it is that we're believing God for in this time. Are there children in your family that need to be saved? Are there brothers? Are there sisters? Are there those that just can't seem to get past a wall that's there? I believe that walls are going to come down. I believe that there are those that at the end of this 21 days, and I believe while it's going on, I am expecting God to show up at the prayer services. I'm expecting God to show up on Saturday morning and Sunday mornings, and that there are going to be deliverances that are going to happen even in our prayer services every morning. I have high faith in what God is going to do. One of the things a very famous pastor in Seoul, Korea, many years ago, he pastored the largest church in the world. He went on to be with the Lord. at the age of 85, but he had, at the end, there was 800,000 members, and they had seven services every Sunday morning. Now, can you imagine, church? We all get frightened at two. But he says, when asked, what was the success in those early years of ministry? He said, pray, pray, pray. Fast, fast, fast. So that's what we're doing, is we are going to call a fast and we are going to pray. Because I believe that Christians have been deceived into believing that they're not supposed to fast. That was, you know, in the olden days, that was in the New Testament days, but they're not called to. But I believe with all of my heart that there's awakening. There's going to be an excitement. I know the dread of the mind and even the body, because the stomach, he will fuss too. But I do believe with all of my heart that we are going to experience a supernatural fast in this church. Now, if we're going to believe a supernatural fast, we can't do a natural grumble. Got it? That was free too. Matthew chapter 6 lists three things that all Christians are to do. And it says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. It's interesting that we got that instruction. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Those are three things that we should be doing as we walk this life of Christ. Because all of us, you know what? It doesn't say, but when you do. It just says, when you do. Not, but if. Not if you do, but when you do. We could all find reasons to not, but I believe that we're church together with a made-up mind, and we're going to push forward. And that's why we've done it for several years. January, the first month of the year, and God has blessed it. I believe that we as a church are still here because there have been those that have prayed and have fasted year after year after year. And I want to tell you that your staff have been very faithful to praying year after year after year. And we thank God for every one of them. God is looking for people that are looking and are serious about things changing and serious about bondages being broken off in their families, in their own personal life. Psalm 48, 12, 14 says, walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, and that you may tell to all next generation, for this God is our God forever, and he will be our guide ever to the end. Look and see so you can tell the goodness of God. Walk around Zion, walk around and see what God has done so you can tell. In other words, remember. Take a look and remember in your family, in your life, the goodness of God. So easy to remember what the enemy did or what our flesh did. But God says, I want you to look and remember so you can tell the next generation of my goodness. Joshua 24, the last part of verse 15, Joshua said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I believe that sitting in this audience today are those that said, we, my family, is going to serve the Lord. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, 23. I'm going to be taking quite a few scriptures out of Ezra. You can just follow along on the screen, but I would encourage you to read the chapter of Ezra. It's really a very good book of God's redemption. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble themselves, so that we might humble ourselves. What are we fasting for? So that we can humble ourselves as individuals and as a church before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because they had told the king, "The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him." So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. Remember last week we did the prayer of Jabez, and the last thing that was said in the scripture we used, and he answered Jabez's prayer. And he answered the prayer of God's people. They could have went to the king. They could have went to the way of the world. But the way of the world had already heard that they served a gracious, good God. And so had they went to the king instead of going to God, the testimony would have been broken down. After 70 years of Babylonian captivity, Ezra was about to lead a remnant of Israel back to the Holy Land. There was a whole generation of young people that had never seen the temple of Jerusalem. It was going to be a rough trip. It's going to be very treacherous for them to go. But they had already been boasting. God got us through the Red Sea. God took care of us. He fed us. He's always been faithful. Remember your forefathers here. So they were being encouraged. They had boasted about his mighty hand and in his faithfulness. So they had to act in faith and believe in their own testimonies, in the word that they had already proclaimed. It's time that we believe in the word that we've already proclaimed, not just when we're up talking and speaking, or we're talking to someone before church or after church and we say all the right religious things. No, it's time that we believe in the word of our God. Amen? So Ezra proclaimed a fast so they could humble themselves and seek his face, because they needed to know the right way to go. It was not a good situation. Have you heard of so many not good situations right now? There's a whole lot of those not good situations going around. But they needed to know. We need to know the right way to take. They needed protection for themselves, and they needed protection for the little ones that they needed to protect and take care of. We need to know the right way of our lives. We need to not be confused about our future or the choices before us. We need to know, which road do we go? Do you know that the devil can get you so messed up, you think, okay, do I want to move? No, maybe I shouldn't. Should I stay or should I go? Should I go or should I stay? Should I stay or should I go? You'll know if we're fasting and we're praying and we're listening to the Spirit of God. We will know. We won't have to guess and then get somewhere that's a wilderness when the presence of God was already telling us, be still and know that I'm God. I'm going to give you a few examples real quick, and we'll go back to Ezra. But Judges 20:26, it tells us that Israel is seeking to know if they need to go into battle against the tribe of Benjamin. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. We're going to read now 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 6. And this is where they're seeking God at Mizpah for forgiveness and protection against the Philistine army. So we're going to read that. So they gathered at Mizpah and in a great ceremony drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. And they wanted to get things right. Why do we fast? We're fasting so that we can tell our flesh that you don't need everything you think you need. We're telling our minds, slow down a little bit. Take some time to read the Word of God. Take some time to speak out the Word of God. And if you're going to speak anything negative, you say it to the devil and say, You are a liar. You are full of pride. You are messing with my home. Now get out of my home in Jesus' name. We have to become vigilant in our words that we speak when the enemy is trying to keep territory that doesn't belong to him. Have you ever in your day seen and heard so much about land that is being taken up and moved, people moving into the U.S., buying up land, and nobody knows what they're doing with it? It happens from the beginning of time. It's always happened. Do we do nothing, or do we begin to open our eyes and see that the enemy has a plan, strategic? Where is the strategic church plan? Gonna find out as we fast and pray. Never, if I could beg you to come, I would beg you to come. If that would change anything, I'd beg you to be here, but I can't. I know some of you have to be at work by 6. I understand that, or leaving for work at 6. But if you can be here, as many days as you can be here, it'll change your life. I believe with all my heart, if we'll put forth the effort, it will change your life. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Remember Jehoshaphat? He was terrified by news of a vast army about to attack. So he begs the Lord for guidance and orders everyone in Judah to begin fasting. It's not an unusual thing where leaders say, church, let's fast and let's pray. Let's see what God wants to do. And it's not because we feel like we're going under. It's because we are determined to go over. We're determined to see your family get the victory that you've been praying for a long time. And we're determined to see some of these people healed and delivered that's been suffering terribly in their physical body, in their minds. I believe God is going to make people whole in Jesus' name. So back to Ezra. Ezra sees promises. So he sees potential. But he also sees grave danger for the next generation. It was tempting for him to ask for an army to go in, but Ezra relied on his faith in God. That's what we have to do. We have to rely on our faith in God. Psalms 20, verse 6 through 8. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Got any anointed in the house? I believe we have a house full of anointed people. He answers them from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They were brought to their knees and fall, but we will rise up and we will stand firm. In Jesus' name, yes, we will. And we read down just a few verses more into verse 31 of Ezra 8. And we will see that on the 12th day of the first month, we set out from the Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. The hand of the Lord was on us, and he protected us from enemies and bandits along the way. I'm telling you, God knows how to protect his people that ask him to cover them and protect them. They prayed, and they get there, and they are protected, and the bandits were not able to get to them and to harm them. Today, we all know that we have lost. If we've lost anything, it's our country, in our country, anything that you can think of, I believe it's the right way. They have lost the right way. It's upside down. You know, it's interesting because Pastor and I have been preaching for a long time, and pastors that we know and anybody that's preached, you know, has preached about the fact that there will come a day when lies will be spoken as truth. When you can have public officials stand and there's evidence and they still lie as if it's truth. If you have children that will blatantly lie to their parents and act like it's truth. If we don't get it stopped, they keep on lying. They'll keep on stealing because one lie needs another lie and another lie. And then the next thing you know, you have to go steal something to cover up what you've lied about. It's a web. That's what the devil does. And anytime we give in to the web of the devil, he will put the noose around us tighter and tighter and tighter. You know, it's a hard thing to say I was wrong. I lied to you, but I'm sorry, and I do not want this on my conscience anymore. Young people, adults, we can start with lying, because lying is a spirit. It can be something that generations to generations has been in your family. It's easy to lie and then try to run it over with a half-truth. One of the reasons we're fasting is for the protection of our little ones. When I say that, I'm talking about our babies all the way up through our college age. We're praying for them. We're believing God for them. We're fasting and praying for them so that they will know God in a strong way. What is Gen X? What age is that? Somebody tell me. It's what? 82. Okay. The Gen X, like 96, okay. 80s to 1996. There's a report that was done on the Gen X. And at this moment and at this time, it's the highest group of Gen X's that said in 2024, they're going to pray like they've never prayed before. That's their New Year's resolution. I call that victory. And I pray that they do pray, that they pray and they pray until they hear from heaven. So it's not all negative, our nation. God is raising up some young men and some young women that are bold to say, that's not right. That's a lie. And I you know, they're vocal. They get the facts. And they're speaking up, and I thank God for them. But we know that our children are exposed to all kinds of perversion and danger just with a click of a button. The internet, the TV, cell phones, music, video games, going to school. It's become a perverse generation that's trying to teach our children, not all of them. But there's a power behind of deception that is trying so hard to make this country into a third world country ran by communism. Pastor and I have seen so many of them. In America, we don't want to go there. We want to pray. Amen? There's good news on the horizon here. The weeping prophet wrote, Jeremiah 6:15, are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So when they fall among the fallen, they will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. Have you ever seen a time where there's such blatant on the TV? The things that are coming up and coming out. The only reason some don't want people to know what they did is because their pride. And I understand if there's forgiveness, I understand that. But there's no blush. There's no shame. And our children, unless you teach them, there's a real possibility they won't know what it's like to be ashamed because they lied, because they took something that they shouldn't have, and they blamed something on someone or something that had nothing to do with it. We're living in a day where abnormal is viewed as normal. And perversion, as we know, we hear it, it's winked at, you know, as if it isn't real. And our little ones, they're living in an unblushable society. And you know that the enemy's trying to take as many of our young ones in captivity as he can. He wants to keep them. Sex slavery is highest it's ever been in our country. We can't hide under the fact and think it's not happening. It is happening. It's happening, church. Does that give you a want to pray? Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Does that make you want to pray protection over them? Does that make you want to say, devil, oh, no, I'm tired of this. You're not getting my child. You're not getting my grandchild. And my grandchildren that have heard the word of God, and right now they don't know for sure if you're still real. Oh, no, devil, they're going to know. They're going to remember the days when you touched them and you blessed them. We, as parents, have a huge opportunity to see why I'm excited to fast and pray is because I see results. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that awaited him. We are going to fast and pray because of the joy. James 4, 6 through 10. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift us up. We're not twisting God's arm when we go into a fast. We're just positioning ourselves and preparing our hearts for what is to come. Supernatural is released when we do the first things first. If we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, we will miss what God's wanting to do. I believe that fasting will separate you for the work of the ministry. Paul and Barnabas, they were ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set them apart for me for the work that I've called them. See, I believe that God is calling. I believe that on every role that we have in this building today, there are some of you that God is saying, I want to set you apart for the work of the ministry. I want to set you apart. I want to set you apart. Are you willing to be set apart for the work of the ministry? Are you willing to allow me to do what I need to do in your life? Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. After they had fasted and prayed. Notice they were in the house ministering to the Lord. That's what we come and we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And we'll even do it in prayer service. We're going to minister to the Lord first. We're going to praise God. And God's going to begin to set some people aside. And he's going to send us out more and more into our communities, into our work, into our schools, into wherever it is where you have influence. God's going to send us more and more out. Because God wants his people to do his work. If we fast and deny ourselves, we're ministering to the Lord. Fasting together. I believe that fasting together, it does. It brings it together. We've been doing this several years. And it does. It brings you together. You even share recipes, you know. What have you been fixing that might be a little good? You know, especially for those that do 3 to 5 days and just liquid and they come off of it. They're like, oh, my goodness, you know, a Daniel fast sounds pretty good. It's not so bad now. But it draws us together, brings us to a new level together. It'll bring us to unity as we hunger together for God. There will be a breakthrough anointing. That's what I'm believing for, a breakthrough anointing so that Nora is going to be totally made whole. I believe there's going to be a breakthrough anointing, Silas and Susan, for your situations, a breakthrough anointing, for Missy, a breakthrough anointing up on I could call out so many of you, breakthrough anointings. We need those in our home, Brother Sam. We need those breakthrough anointings. We need. And we together, not because it's convenient, but because we know that God has a commission for us. Why should I stay at this level if God wants me to go to the next level with him? Amen. I know that the elderly or some with serious conditions, if you fast in any way at all, whatever little bit it is, I believe that if you give that to God and pray and seek him, I believe that you will be rewarded as much as somebody that does total fast. So we're not trying to say you have to do this fast or that fast. We're saying pray and fast. Fasting is an issue that disciplines the flesh. It's a heart issue that disciplines the flesh. I don't know about you, but my flesh really likes what my flesh likes. If you don't have a revelation that your flesh can be stupid, then I pray you get one today. Because I found out a long time ago, my goodness, I was shocked. Psalm 133:1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. Psalm 133:3, for there the Lord bestows his blessings. I believe that his blessings is going to be on your households like never before. There is here. This is a place of blessing. I want the commanded blessing in our church. I want the commanded blessing in your home. I want our homes to be where that when people come to our homes, they feel peace. They don't feel chaos. They don't feel upheaval and unrest and bickering and fighting and attitudes. But when they come into your house, they sense the peace of God. Our lives must be tough spiritually to do the work that God has called us to do in this generation. I believe that fasting causes us to toughen up spiritually if we will wrap it in prayer. I remember one of the first times that I ever fasted, and I honestly don't remember too many fasts as a young girl growing up. I know that my dad was a man that fasted and prayed continuously. I don't remember church fasts per se, but I remember at one time being out on the road, and I remember that I just really felt like going into a three-day fast. I hadn't heard on Daniel fast. I hadn't heard any teaching on fasting. I really hadn't, but I determined to do it, and it was a real awakening to me about how much God loved me, and it wasn't because I was special. I just had an awareness that God heard me and that he loved me and that he saw me and my children. He understood where we were at. And it became, it was such a beautiful thing to me. And so I want to encourage you that you can't go wrong in anything that you do when you give up something for the Lord. Let's keep our faith strong. Jesus told Peter, I am praying for you that your faith fails you not, every one of us. I pray for you, Pastor and I pray for you, that your faith will not fail you in the storms of life, that you will not give up and you will not give in, that you won't allow the enemy, because he's after your faith. If he can cause your faith to waver, then he can get you to respond in unbelief and doubt. Amen. I believe that if we have a strong prayer life, we'll have strong boldness in this hour. We will have a church of weak, doubting saints. There's boldness and there's strength when we begin to pray and we begin to fast together. It enables the spirit man to rule over our flesh. That's what we're going after. That happens when you pray. And you pray and you fast. It begins that your spirit man awakens and your spirit man becomes the leader of you. God will speak deep into our spirit as we fast and we pray. He'll speak so loud that I believe that our stomach and our flesh will be drowned out. Amen. Y'all going to agree on that? That our stomach and our flesh were like, okay, wait on. You're not going to die. You'll be fine. Just hang in there. You'll be fine. That's why when God comes in a few days of your fast, and he will, God, not the enemy. The enemy, of course, he came to Satan, right? Think of all the things. I mean, he tormented Satan. He tried really bad to torment him. But God will come along in a few days, and he's going to put his finger on some areas of your life. Don't ignore him. He's doing that because he loves you. He's doing that because he put something in you that he's wanting to use. He wants to bring you to a new level. Repent of it. Let it go. Let it be in the past. You may say, I don't know how. I don't know how to do that. let's do it by humbling ourselves before God and submitting to Him, because the Holy Ghost, our helper, will help us. James 1:21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Praise and worship team, you can quietly come on up. The word, lay aside. Therefore, lay aside. What does lay aside mean? Well, lay aside, the Greek word is apo, T-I-T-H-I-M-I. It's a compound word that means to place or lay something down. Lay aside. It means to place it somewhere else, to lay something down, and then push it as far away from you and beyond your reach. So let's read that with, this could be turned, that verse could be interpreted like this, because the word was used in the, also to describe someone taking off dirty clothes. That same compound word, taking it off. So it could be interpreted like this. You must make the choice to remove those filthy, stinking garments from your life. That kind of sounds like that Home Alone. Yeah, you filthy, filthy, stinking. Yeah. I bet that's where they got it, was from the Bible. Could be interpreted. You must make the choice to remove those filthy, stinking garments from your life to permanently. See, the enemy says you have to be a druggie all your life. You have to be an alcoholic all your life. That's a lie. You have to be a thief all your life. You're going to be a liar all your life. You're going to be an adulterer all your life. You're going to be a murderer all your life. No, no, no. Lie, lies, lies. Because we must make the choice. Push them from our range. They're out there. I don't even know what you're talking about. They're not there anymore. They're gone. Fasting and prayer is key to a revival in our lives. Joel 2:12 says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Church, let's return to the Lord our God. Joel 2:15, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's what Pastor and I have been doing. That's what we're doing. Blow the trumpet in solid rock. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Joel 2:28-29. And afterward, everybody say, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all my people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I'm telling you what, we got some juniors that can begin to prophesy. I was probably 8, 9 years old when the word of the Lord began to come to me, and I'd begin to prophesy as the Spirit of God would begin to move upon my life. I'm telling you that it's time for the gifts of the Spirit to move in our lives every day, at home and in our church, in our youth and in our children's church, and yes, even in our nursery. Tiffany laid in a van with her hands up after a service where we'd been singing. She was 3 years old, and she began to sing a song. And then the next thing I know, she had those little hands up, and she was praying in the Holy Ghost, and tears were flowing down her face. I believe with all my heart it can happen again in our 3 and our 4 years old. And it happens when God's people begin to pray and begin to understand that we have been given this tool called prayer, conversation with God, and we begin to move out and we begin to say, God, I want you and I love you more than anything else that's going on in our world. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. Come on, young men. You need to see some visions and see what God has for you, young women. Even on my servants, men and women, I will pour my spirit in those days. Every verse that we read up until the one I just read you came, brought us to that place and afterwards. I'm looking for the afterwards. I'm encouraged about the afterwards. I'm excited about the afterwards that God's going to do. 1 Kings 21, 27, 29. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He laid in the sackcloth and went around meekly. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed that Ahab has humbled himself before me? And because he humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his house, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. Repentance. Repentance will change many, many things, because we all know that Ahab was a wicked king, but he humbled himself. God sees humbleness. Eventually, he got puffed up and he ended up, the dogs did lick up his blood, as was prophesied. Don't turn your back on God. It's a good time to fast, because maybe the hounds of hell are after you, but you can defeat them with a humble heart. Sometimes we just have a mad heart because of injustice, but a mad heart will not produce what you need. A mad heart will not get you an audience with God. A repentive heart will. Fasting is mentioned one time, to prayer been mentioned three times. In other words, for every two sermons, you hear one on prayer, and then you should hear one on fasting, because it takes both. Fasting is a way back to God. Would you stand to your feet? Remember when David committed adultery and murdered, and then Bathsheba was pregnant. Shame was upon him. Guilt was upon him. But the prophet of God came and David got under conviction. And he fasted 7 days. When you need something broken over your life, that's a great time to fast also. It could be that shame and condemnation needs to be broken over your lives. Something that keeps coming back and haunting you, maybe it needs to be broken off your life. God's could be speaking to some hearts today. After the baby died, David, King David, and after the sin had overwhelmed him, he got up and he washed his face and he said, it's over. Can I say to you, if you have fasted and you have prayed and you've repented and you meant it, it is over. So don't let someone else try to give it back to you. Don't do it. It doesn't matter how or what the enemy has brought against you. No matter how broken and all you feel today. You might be dry, but you don't have to be defeated by your past anymore. And I want to encourage you to fast and to pray. I want to encourage all of you to read Proverbs 31, because one of the things that we need in our life in this day we live is wisdom. And he says in the New Testament, he said, if we will ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us liberally. We need to ask for wisdom so wisdom can guide us. What was Psalm what? James 1 and 5. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. One more little, and Pastor, I think, touched on this maybe last week or maybe Wednesday night. I'm not sure. Fasting is a type of mourning. Did you use that illustration? No? The word fasting interchanges with the word mourning. When I push back delicacies, when I push back things that I like, my body goes into mourning. It really does. You know, your body's going to have withdrawals. But here's some good news. Matthew 5:4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's an interchangeable word, fasting and praying, and fasting and mourning. So when your body begins to mourn, just remember that blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You'll get through this. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's going to help us. I believe that he's going to turn some beauty, some ashes into beauty in your lives. I really believe that. I believe that there's going to be an oil of joy for mourning the situations of your life that you feel like you haven't been able to get through. I believe that fasting is going to break the spirit of heaviness off of your life. Amen. And I believe that God is going to fill this house. How's he going to fill this house? With his beauty, with his anointing, and with his garment of praise. Don't ever come into the church and hate the fact that you have to sit through a praise and worship service. Come in with the attitude, I'm going to worship the King. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to worship my Jesus. That's why I go to church. I'm not there to be entertained or think, how much longer? Oh, my feet are hurting. Oh, you guys don't know what a footache is like. Until you stand for 2 hours and you got a pinched nerve on the bottom of your foot. But when I get anointed, I don't even think about it. Let's get to the place where we can touch his face with a tenderness from a humble heart. He can get so close to us. We feel him so close, and we can touch him and proclaim, oh, the glory of his presence is in this house. Wouldn't you like to have the kind of praise that Pastor can't calm down? Wouldn't you like the kind of praise that people just put on the garment of praise when they come in because they know God is doing something? They don't see it all yet, and it may seem a little foolish to others. But they had a talk with God. They made a connection, and they know that God is doing something. A humble heart will become a whole heart. Some need your ability to cry back. Some have not cried in years. God says, I want to your heart to be made tender so you can weep again. Some need your joy back. Some need your peace back. Some need your fire and your passion back. Not a fake, but a real joy, a real fire in your heart. Some need your dance back. Some of you used to like to dance before the Lord, and now you're just embarrassed. It's hard to even tap your foot a little bit. What if somebody sees me? What if they do? Maybe what God's doing in you will cause something to explode in them. The garment of praise. We want it to return to those who mourn, who fast in Zion. Some aren't used to raising your hands, but I believe that you're going to find yourself putting that hand up, slipping that hand up, because something has happened while you have humbled yourself before God. I want all the religious spirit, anything that's in me, I want it gone so I can get my praise back, so I can get my dance back. Are you tired of the spirit of heaviness? Well, corporate praise creates a river of healing. Depression will be illegal on these premises. When we get our praise and our worshipers back in the house, when we begin to praise and we begin to worship and we're not ashamed of it, it is going to affect everyone else that is in this building. It's going to happen. Can you tell the Lord this morning that you love him? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. God, I want to receive you. Every minute of my life, every minute of this fast, I want to give to you, oh God. I love you. I love you, God. My worship is a kiss to you, oh God. my praise to you, O God. I believe that God can, and I believe he will. Church, you want to go with us? You want to be part of it? I believe you do. Let's go back and let's praise God like we opened. If you're here in this building this morning and you don't know Jesus, or you slipped away from Jesus, maybe you're sitting there and you feel guilty because you have sinned and you have not repented of that sin. Maybe you're in this place today. If you are, would you just slip up front and we'll just pray with you? Or maybe you're just saying, I've been scared to even commit to praying and fasting, but I want to. I want to. And I'm just going to give them myself. Then we want you to walk forward. All of you that's watching, we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for praying for Solid Rock. We pray for you. We're so grateful to you. And we will see you again next Sunday. Put on your praise and keep it going throughout the week.